This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Thank you, Jesus. Will you lift your hand to heaven tonight, this morning, and begin to give glory to God from the depth of your heart? Let's give Him praise. Appreciate Him. All the powerful sessions of God's Word that have come our way, let's give Him the glory that is due unto Him. For the diverse ministrations, all the various ministrations have touched us in one way or the other. Let's give God the glory. 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 Father, thank you for your blessing. For your blessing. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Now ask Him for a word. Lord, speak to me again. I have come this morning to hear your voice, to receive your light, to encounter your word. Speak to me again this morning. I'm here to receive from you. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Lord Jesus, this morning we have come with gratitude in our hearts to give thanks and praise to your holy name for all that you have done. Lord, to us, you have done all things well, and we give you all of the glory. Lord, our eyes are fixed upon you this morning, asking that you will speak to us again your word in season. Let your word transform our lives, and we give you all the praise for it, because we know it is done already. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand of praise, and please, you may be seated in His presence. Hallelujah. We give God the glory for the first two powerful sessions of God's Word that we have received. There's no doubt your life has been changed. My life has been changed, and will never remain the same again. Somebody believe and say the loudest, amen. I want to give God glory again for the opportunity given to me by God through His servant, my father, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oedipo. And I believe, God, that the grace at work in his life will be at work this morning, touching and changing each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember that our caption, our running caption, is Spirituality Highway to Our Enviable Destiny. And this morning, we are going to be looking at this subject, engaging the power of faith to subdue nations. Engaging the power of faith to subdue nations. Now, this subject is so important because this is the anchor mandate of this commission. The mandate that gave birth to this commission is the word of faith mandate. God said to His servant, now the hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith, and I am sending you to undertake this task. So this commission is a commission that rides on this mandate. So I like each one of us to be well positioned, because without faith, you can't represent what this commission carries. All that this commission represents anchors on this foundational mandate of faith. And I pray that for each one of us this morning, by the encounter we are having upon this mountain, your faith is coming alive. I said your faith is coming alive. If you believe that is you, say the loudest, amen. Now, it's important to note from scriptures that one of the end time mandates of the latter day church is the subduing of kingdoms. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27, the Bible makes us to understand Daniel 7 and verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom over the whole heaven shall be given, under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve him. So from scriptures, it is clear that one of the end time realities of the latter day church is the subduing of kingdoms. This is why the word of God declares in Revelation 11 verse 15 that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. What this means is that without dominion, the end time church cannot fulfill its mandate on the earth. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, the Bible says, from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh it by force. So there is a force required for the dominion mandate of the church to be established. And that force is what we call the force of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 33 down to verse 34, the Bible tells us there, it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 and 34. He said, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. He said, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How did they do all of these things? Through faith. So faith is the force through which we are able to exercise dominion on the earth. I pray again for each one of us that by the encounter you are having this morning, your faith will come alive. I thought somebody was shouting a louder amen. I said, I thought somebody was shouting a louder amen. But we discover from scriptures that it is revelation of the truth that triggers faith. Romans chapter 10, and verse 17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first hearing is information. The second hearing is revelation. It is the revelation of the truth that provokes or triggers faith. The question we are going to try to address this morning, first of all, is what is revelation? What is revelation? Three definitions quickly. Number one, revelation is the unveiling of the word. It is the unveiling of the word. The unveiling of the word. The Bible makes us to understand in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and verse 18. Follow this carefully. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So, there is something about what we can see that determines what we can actualize. Revelation. So, when we talk about revelation, it is the unveiling of the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we begin from verse 15 down to verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He said, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. So until your face is open, your change cannot come. He said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we talk about revelation, you are talking about the unveiling of the face. He said, many of them to this day, while Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. He said, but now, we all with open face. We are in the same day, but the case is different because our face is open. I pray for somebody here this morning. Whatever veil may have covered your face that has kept you from the revelation of the word, that veil is torn apart this morning. Isaiah chapter 25, beginning from verse 6 down to verse 8. Look at what the Bible tells us there. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And look at verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that is over the people, and the veil that is spread over the nations. And verse 8. And he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away. I pray again for somebody this morning. Every veil that is covering your face is taken away this morning. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. He said, for in that mountain, and this is that mountain, he said he will take away the veil that is over all the people and cast over all the nations. I have good news for you this morning. No matter where you are today, connected to this mountain this morning, every veil that has covered your eyes from seeing the light of the gospel, the veil is taken away this morning. If you believe, say the loudest amen. Number two, revelation is the ignition of the word. It is the ignition of the word. In the book of Psalm chapter 119 verse 130, it said, the entrance of his word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. It is the ignition of the word. John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 9, it says, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So revelation is the ignition of the world. It is not only the opening of our faces to see, but it is the lightening of our hearts, the illumination of our hearts. When revelation comes, darkness goes. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, hear this. It is the ignition of the word. When the word lights your spirit, when the word terminates your darkness, that's when revelation comes. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? And that is the starting point of faith. So faith cannot come until revelation comes. That means until there is an ignition of your spirit. When there is a quickening word that enters your spirit, faith comes alive. Faith comes alive. So we discover that revelation is the ignition of the word. Number three, revelation is the comprehension of the word. Comprehension. That is what you call spiritual understanding. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, it said there, and then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It is spiritual understanding that provokes faith. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Look at what the word of God tells us here. Colossians 2 verse 2. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. When understanding comes, there is a sense of assurance. There is a sense of assurance. Spiritual understanding is the trigger for unshakable faith. Spiritual understanding is the trigger for unshakable faith. That's revelation. So revelation talks about coming to the point of spiritual understanding. It was when Abraham arrived at the point of understanding that he came to the place of assurance. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, he said, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was also able to perform. Now, many times we look at that scripture and we don't consider the details therein. Being fully persuaded means he has sat down and come to the point of understanding that no, this situation I am facing is not bigger than God. This matter I'm confronted with, is God able to handle it or not? He had considered it well. The consideration of what God had said superseded the consideration of what life was saying. That's why the Bible tells us he considered not his body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, but he was strong in faith and began to give glory to God. There were other things that could have been considered, but there was a stronger consideration because of his spiritual comprehension. When you talk about faith, it is the product of coming to the point of spiritual understanding. Place your hand on your head this morning and ask the Lord, Lord, give me understanding. That's why David said, give me understanding that I may live. Lord, give me understanding. Pray that prayer right now. Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Understanding of your word. Understanding of your ways. Understanding of your light. Understanding of your life. Give me understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As you have prayed it, so shall it be unto you. It's important to be reminded again that you cannot access faith without revelation. The access point for faith is revelation. And revelation, we said, means the unveiling of the word. It means the ignition of the word. It means the comprehension or spiritual understanding of the word. Now, it's important to note that faith has unlimited capacity for growth. It has unlimited capacity for growth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, it says to us there, it said that we are bound to give thanks to you that as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. It has unlimited capacity for growth. It has unlimited capacity for growth. That means no matter where your faith is now, there are still higher levels. It has unlimited capacity for growth. There is no dimension that faith cannot go further than. Your faith can keep growing and growing and growing. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It will keep coming as you keep growing in the word. Now take note of this, it will help us. Faith does not grow by just reading and studying the word. Faith grows by spiritual understanding of the truth. Not just by reading and studying the word, but it grows by spiritual understanding of the truth. If you remember the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 35, we had a man there that was referred to as a utopian eunuch. And the Bible says that as Philip was, you know, as Philip came towards his chariot, he heard him reading a book, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I was reading the portion and he asked him a question. Do you understand what you are reading? And the man said, how can I, except somebody should explain it to me? And Philip entered into the chariot and began from the same scripture that he was reading. And as they went by, they came by a body of water. And he said he preached Christ to him starting from that scripture. And they came by a body of water, and the eunuch said to him, he said, this is water. What is stopping me now from being baptized? What is it that will hinder me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe, then you'll be baptized. He said, I believe. And they entered into the water, and he was baptized. So what brought him to the faith, to the point of faith, was simply coming to the place of spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Your confidence is boosted. Your faith is erected when your understanding is in place. In other words, it is understanding that stands understanding faith. It is understanding that stands understanding faith. If your faith will stand, then it must be based on spiritual understanding. This is why you must become an addict of the word. It will choke out every opportunity for doubt to step in. I pray this morning that for somebody hearing my voice, from this mountain, you will contact an insatiable desire for the word of God. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. I said, if you believe it, say the loudest amen. Now, when we talk about spiritual understanding, we are not just talking about having a proper arrangement of the word in your mind. No, we are talking about going from the point of reading or hearing to seeing what God is saying. Going from the point of reading or understanding to the point of seeing what God is saying. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11 and verse 12, the Bible tells us there, it says, son of man, what do you see? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. And he said, you have well seen. I will now hasten my word to perform it. Coming to the point where you can see what God is saying. It is going from the point of just seeing the scriptures to seeing the pictures in the scriptures. That is what you call the point of spiritual understanding. Coming to the place where you are seeing pictures in the scriptures. The Bible is a book of pictures. I pray that for somebody hearing my voice this morning, via the encounter you are having upon this mountain, your eyes will begin to see the word of God. Somebody believe, say loud amen. I said, somebody believe, say the loudest amen. Somebody believe, say the loudest amen. Seeing the pictures from the word. I remember some years ago, in my former station, I came across a word in the book of Psalm chapter 29, where the word of God begins to espouse the power of the voice of the Lord. And it goes to tell us from verse 7 to verse 9, Psalm 29, verse 7 to 9. Look at what it says here. Some very, very powerful light. It said, the voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. He said, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. And verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. And at that time, there were quite a number of people with different kinds of cases of barrenness. Low sperm count, no sperm count, polycystic ovaries, all manner of cases. Some just inexplicable infertility in the church. And I saw from this scripture, it said, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. That is when God speaks, the hinds give birth on the spot. And I said, wow, what is this? And I go back to Genesis chapter 1. He said, God spoke to the water and said, let the water bring forth. Water, bring forth. And the water began to give birth to all manner of fishes at the instance of the voice of the Lord. He said, let the earth bring forth. So whenever God speaks, things produce. I came out from that revelation and I began to tell everybody. I said, look, I told first of all the people who were my prayer team, I said, look at what God showed me. There are people who will be given birth without explanation. Without explanation. Because by the voice of the Lord, it causes their hinds to calve. And I began to tell them, I said, even if what is in the man is water. But one of them told me, he said, the doctor told him, You have low sperm count. In order to explain it to you, let me tell you. What it means is that what is inside you is water. But God said to water, bring forth. So when the voice is there, there's no impossibility. When the voice of the Lord is there, there is no impossibility. You see, that's how you begin to see pictures from the world. And when that came out, all manner of miracles, of inexplicable pregnancies, One of us went to go for a fertility treatment after 12 years of waiting on God. And it seemed like nothing was going on. And they came for the fertility treatment just to go there and check to see the readiness to carry out the fertility treatment. They said, "Madam, there is something happening here." She said, "What is going on?" He said, "You are pregnant." "What? You are pregnant so and so time?" The husband had just dropped her in front of the hospital to go and pack the car. She called the husband and said, "Husband, something is happening." "No." He said, "What?" He said, "I don't understand what is happening." "No." "They are saying I'm already pregnant." Husband too is saying, "What?" Wife is saying, "What?" Nobody understands how it happened, because the voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve. Somebody say pictures. That is what it takes to quicken faith. So faith is not just the product of the quotation of the word. No, it is the product of the, permit my language, picturization of the word. When you begin to see the pictures in scriptures, your faith is quickened. That's spiritual understanding. He says, "Son of man, what do you see?" It means that on this mountain, it is not enough to hear. The question is, what do you see? What do you see? Because what you see is what you seize. What you see is what you seize. This is so important. That's why you discover that in the kingdom, every man of unusual exploits is a man of unusual revelation. Spiritual understanding. There are things that they see. There are things that they see. And that is what makes them to command dominion. I pray for somebody upon this mountain this morning. Via your encounter here, your eyes will be open to see. I said your eyes will be open to see. Paul, a man of exploits in scriptures, 2 Corinthians 12:7, he said, because of the abundance of revelation. So what made Paul a man of unusual impact was because he was a man of unusual revelation. Abundance of revelation. Now let us see what the faith of Paul did in his life and ministry. We look at the effect. Abundant revelation gave birth to abundant faith. And that abundant faith provoked abundant proofs. What are some of the effects in the life of Paul the Apostle? We'll look at four of them quickly this morning. Number one, he had command over death. He had command over death. Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It says, "And having this confidence, I know that I abide and continue with you." Let's start from verse 21, please. From verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." From verse 21. Verse 21, please. 21. Philippians 1, 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Look at verse 22. It said, "But if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. What I shall choose, I want not." Verse 23. It says, "For I am in strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He says in verse 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And then verse 25. He said, "And having this confidence, I know I'll abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of the joy of your faith." Look at how a man is toying with death. "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't even know which one to choose, whether to remain here or to go to heaven. To go to heaven is better for me, but to stay here is better for you. Because of you, I've chosen to stay." That's death that this man is talking about as if he's selecting food. "I don't know which one to choose. To go to be with Jesus is better. I will enjoy that more. But me being here, you will enjoy it more. I don't want you to be sad. So because of you, I've chosen to remain." That is, he had unusual command. Unusual command over death. It's the same Paul that said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. He said, "Their old death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" It's the same Paul that said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death." and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know what abolished means? Outlawed. That is it. He has abolished death. That's Paul the apostle speaking. So what Paul understood is that I am unkillable. And it came to that point through revelation. He said he has brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. So no one could kill him. They stoned him. They couldn't kill him. The boat capsized. It couldn't kill him. They put him in prison. They couldn't kill him. No matter what they did, they couldn't kill him. Why? His faith had come alive in that area. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, the Bible tells us there, it says that for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He says, and delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So according to the scripture, Satan does not have the right to kill you. Is somebody getting what God is saying? He said he had the power. That's what Paul understood. He doesn't have it again because Jesus abolished it. That means he can't kill you without your permission. Is somebody getting it? He can't kill you without your permission. That's why your faith must remain agile. Your faith must remain intact. Your faith must remain fervent. I've shared this testimony before. Some years ago, I was traveling on a flight from Lagos to London. And we got into the air and the plane began to shake. And if you want to see big men afraid, let there be turbulence in the air. If your car busts tire, you park. If plane begins to shake, nowhere to park. Everybody was, people were shaking, people were praying, people were all manner inside the aircraft. Why? The turbulence of the aircraft was shaking the very hearts of men. Their hearts were shaking. And I can't forget, I had a young boy sitting right in front of me. He was sitting beside a woman, and the woman began to pray. And as she was praying, the young boy's he became afraid. Must have been maybe around 15 or so. He became afraid. Because with the way this woman was praying, I believe he thought this woman must know God. And if she's praying like this, then there must be trouble. So the boy started to pray also. And he started to confess all his sins. Father, forgive me for this, for that, for this, for that, for this, for that. Fear had infiltrated the heart. Hear this. Satan can't kill you till he scares you. So I sat there. I said, what do I do? Everybody here is shaking. Everybody here is praying. And I remember Jesus. In the midst of the storm, he was sleeping on the pillow. So I reclined my chair and I went to sleep. I just went to sleep. I just relaxed on that aircraft and kept sleeping. Why? I cannot die. I know the balance of my days. Is somebody hearing what God is saying? That is what faith does. It brings you to the place where you are in command over death. Command over death. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. Is somebody getting what God is saying? You are in command over death. Number two, he had authority over devils. Authority over devils. Acts chapter 19, verse 14 and 15. That devil said to those sons of Sceva, he said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Command over devils. Command over devils. So faith makes you a commander of devils. When your faith comes alive, you can't be intimidated by demons. All this they are pursuing you in your sleep, your faith is weak. That's the problem. Is somebody getting what God is saying? Your faith is weak. Now hear this. 2007, I went to sleep. I woke up. By the time I woke up, there was a dangerous attack in my sleep. I woke up, turned aside. I looked at the clock. I saw there is still time. I said, Satan, I'm going back to sleep. If you are the devil yourself, come back. This is 2023. He hasn't come back. All this intimidation is a product of the weakness of faith. I pray for somebody hearing me this morning, that via the encounter you are having, your faith will be quickened afresh. I said your faith will be quickened afresh. Your faith will be quickened afresh. Number three, he had command over territories by faith. Acts 19 verse 8 down to verse 10. The Bible tells us there, Paul the apostle, it says he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly. He said, for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading them concerning things of the kingdom of God. He said, but when divers were hardened, he said, and believed not it, and spoke evil, he took the disciples and went to the school of Tyrannus, and he was there for 2 years. And the Bible says within that 2 years, all Asia heard the word of the Lord. All Asia. He went and took the territory by faith. By verse 20, the Bible says that so mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. The territory was taken on the basis of his faith. When your faith comes alive, you take territories for Christ. No obstacle is permitted. You take territories for Christ. Shout hallelujah. That campus where you are, the reason you are there is to take it for Jesus. Is somebody getting what God is saying? That company where you work, the reason you are there is to take it for Jesus. That community where you live, the reason you are there is to take it for Jesus. You must determine in your heart that no environment is permitted to remain the same with you there. If nothing changes, you are not needed. You are there to effect and enforce a change in that territory by the force of faith. Somebody hearing my voice, by the time you get back to where you came from, you are going back as a spiritual tornado. That environment will be overturned for Jesus. You believe it? Say the loudest amen. Number four, he had unlimited capacity by faith. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Unlimited capacity. That is the ability to do things that even eyes have not seen before. Ears have not heard before. The things that have not entered into the heart of man before. That's what we are seeing in this commission. So many things we see in this commission have not been seen before. Never. In the history of mankind. We are seated today inside the faith tabernacle. This thing was built within 12 months. And in the first month, there was no roof design. The design was only for the foundation. But within 12 months, this place was dedicated. It has not been seen before. A 50,000 seat capacity auditorium, completed within 1 year, without borrowing, without begging, without manipulating, without stealing. It has never been seen before. It has not been seen before. But here we are sitting in it in reality. 5,000 churches being built in a year. It has not been seen before. 10,000 churches planted in 1 year. It has not been seen before. 21,000 home cells planted within 1 year. It has not been seen before. Let's look at the ark. The ark under construction in a depressed economy, where there are subsidy issues, where there are currency issues, where there are economic issues, without taking one offering, it has not been seen before. I have good news for somebody hearing me this morning. What has not been seen before, they will see with you. What has not been heard before, they will hear from you. What has not been imagined before will be delivered by you. If you believe it, say the loudest amen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. The ability of God is inexhaustible, but what determines what is obtainable by you and I is the capacity of our faith. Listen carefully. If you, no matter how much rain falls outside, if you put a cup outside, how much water will you gather? a cup full. If you put a bucket outside, how much water will you gather? A bucket full. If you put a drum outside, how much water will you gather? A drum full. If you put a tank outside, how much water will you gather? A tank full. It is the capacity of the container that determines the level of the content. Your faith is the container of what God can deliver into your life. Is somebody getting what God is saying? In the realm of the spirit, it is raining. Rain is falling. The rain of blessings. The rain of breakthroughs. The rain of lifting. But what you can contain is determined by your faith. That is why it is said in scriptures, it is to you according to your faith. Somebody's faith is taking a new turn today. In the name of Jesus Christ. But take note that faith demands a pure conscience for maximum delivery. A pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. The Bible tells us there, 1 Timothy 1 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck of their destiny. A good conscience, a good conscience, a good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says that holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. So it takes a pure conscience to see faith deliver maximally. Take note of the following. Number one, the conscience has a testimony that is greater than the testimony of any man. No matter what men see of you, what matters is what your conscience is saying of you. It has a testimony that is greater than the testimony of any man. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says our rejoicing is this. The testimony of our conscience. There are things people say about you that even when you hear it, you know that it's not true. Your conscience is telling you it's not true. It is greater than the testimony of any man. The testimony of our conscience. Now, years ago, while I was pastoring a church in the UK, we had this assault. The government came against the church and all kinds of things were happening. And they began to dive into the various aspects of the finances of the church and so forth. But I remember that there's a word God's servant has always said. Those who live by the truth don't fear traps. They don't fear traps. And I remember one day on a Sunday, I came down from the altar and a man came to meet me after the service. He said, "Sir, my name is such and such. I'm a professional accountant. I'm a financial expert." He says, "And I specialize in Picasso account." I said, "Which one is Picasso account?" He smiled, he looked at me. He said, "Yes, I know I've come to see that, you know, all of these various things that are coming against the church." He said, "I specialize in Picasso accounts." When he said that again, he struck. Okay, Picasso is a painter. So you know, that is, you are a creative accountant. If we give you the papers of the church, you will help to reorganize the numbers so that they will now begin to think, it will help to, elevate the church from the things that were going on. But I remember the word of God's servant. Those who live by truth don't fear traps. I told him, "Don't worry. Thank you. God bless you. You are free to go. We don't need Picasso. When you do mago-mago in life, that's when you have fear in your heart. That's when you have fear in your heart." The government came in, checked everything within the church, and by the time they brought out their report, it's a public record in the United Kingdom till today. They brought out the report, they said, "This organization is soundly run, and we recommend the same structure for every other charity in the nation." Those who live by truth don't fear traps. When you start doing mago-mago, your faith will not work. Even inside your heart, you'll be afraid. Is somebody getting it? Somebody's faith is coming alive today. Yeah. Whatever is defiling you, I pray that today will be a day of liberty. Yeah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the conscience has a testimony that is greater than the testimony of men. Secondly, the connection of our faith is determined by the cleanliness of our conscience. The connection of our faith is determined by the cleanliness. How clean our conscience is determines how potent our faith is. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, the Bible tells us there, it says, "Let us draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." So what makes your faith have assurance is when your heart is cleansed from an evil conscience. Shout hallelujah. That's what makes your faith active. A man came to meet me some years ago. He said, Pastor, there's demonic activity in my office. I want you to pray. I said, do you know that you are a believer? I said, are you a believer? He said, yes. I said, do you know as a believer you have authority in Christ? He looked at me and smiled. I said, do you know that you are seated far above principalities and powers? He said, Pastor, I know why I say you should pray. I said, what do you mean? And he said, there are some things I used to do. And when he told me 1, 2, 3, I said, it's true. You shouldn't pray. If you pray, they will deal with you. Is somebody getting it now? Your faith will lack connectivity when your conscience is not clear. Part of the reason why many people are looking for prayer contractors is because of bad conscience. Bad conscience. Bad conscience. But today I pray for the cleansing of our conscience. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number three thing is that the cleansing agent for the conscience is the Word of God. The Word of God. It says that we are cleansed by the washing of water by the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. Now listen carefully. There are many who are in a meeting like this, and there are things that you must let go. There are things that you must let go. There are things that you must let go. There are people in this meeting today. You came to Youth Alive Camp. You are a young man carrying condom in your pocket. For what? I know what I'm saying. There are individuals who have come here, drunk paraphernalia. You have come to the mountain of God. For what? Some of you, the phone calls you are making during break time, and what you are doing on your phone during break time is Yahoo Yahoo, and you know for what. Now listen very carefully. I sat down here yesterday, opened my iPad, and as I was trying to look into some things, I started seeing people trying to do airdrop from different places. You are inside service looking for how to do airdrop. The thing will pop up on my phone, decline, till I turned it off. All manner trying to do air, dropping what? God is dropping what? You are dropping what? Inside the service, we have come to a day and age where corruption is having a field day. But I pray this morning that by the power of the Word, the cleansing Word, somebody here is coming out totally free. You believe God, say loud amen. What I want you to know is your faith will not work without a pure conscience. Your faith will not work without a pure conscience. I said earlier that faith is in levels. Everyone at redemption has a measure of faith given to them. But you can reduce it to zero faith, or you can increase it to great faith. The choice is yours. No one here will be a victim in this journey in the name of Jesus. As we conclude this morning, let's take note of this. In these last days, faith is going to come under attack like never before. Under attack like never before. Why is that so? Why will it be under attack? Number one, it is our ever-winning card in every battle against the devil and his cohorts. So Satan knows if he can take your faith, he has taken your joker. Our ever-winning card, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which he will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Ephesians 6:16. Two, Satan is all out to crush the faith of the saints. But the good news is Jesus is ever on duty. He's out to crush. He wants to crush the faith of the saints. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. He's out to crush. So what that means is that faith is Satan's number one target. Satan is not after your money, he's after your faith. He's not after your health, he's after your faith. Everything he attacks is to attack your faith. Everything he attacks is to attack your faith. What that means is that if we must continue to prevail, then we must keep contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That old rugged faith. The one we are seeing at work, even in our Father here. That faith that does not shake in the face of confrontation. That is the faith we must go for. Is this?
that unspeakable faith, that unspeakable gift will begin to manifest in our lives. As we conclude, realize this. Whatever cannot stop God cannot stop the way against faith. I welcome you to your unstoppable realm from now in the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand before the Lord and give thanks to Him for His word that you have received. Father, thank you for your word that has come so powerfully this morning. We give you the praise. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody believes, say a loud amen. Before we conclude this morning, you are here, you are not right with God. Something is off course. You have missed it along the way. And you need a new beginning. You need to start afresh. You want to have a relationship, genuine relationship with God. Maybe you came here because of association. Your friends brought you here. Your parents sent you here. Your church sent you here. But you are here saying, now I can see that I need Jesus. Wherever you are, quickly stand on your feet. Both here and in every location, stand on your feet. I want to pray with you right now, right here, right now, right here. Quickly, on your feet. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm tired of going my own way. I'm ready to go His way. Quickly on your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are you clapping for Jesus? They are standing everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Number two, there are those who are here who need to rededicate their lives to Jesus. You need a new beginning. You need to start afresh. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. Wherever you are in that condition, quickly stand on your feet also. I want to pray with you. You have gone, of course, you have missed it. Something in your life is not right. And you know it. And you say, now I'm ready to follow you all the way. Quickly stand on your feet. God bless you. Are you clapping for Jesus? They are standing everywhere. It's worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Now, please suspend feeling any form given to you right now. Lift up your right hand before the Lord. Lift up your right hand and pray this prayer after me from the depth of your heart. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I cannot help myself, but I know you died for me. On the third day, you rose again just to save me. Jesus, come into my life. Take control of me from this day forward. I will follow you. No turning back. I will serve you. No turning back. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Keep your hand lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for these precious people. They have responded to your call. Now give them grace to keep serving you all the days of their lives and never turn back. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Congratulations. It's a brand new day. Please take your seat. Complete your form. And submit it to the official that is closest to you and be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to strongly recommend the following books for us on this subject of faith, the law of faith. This little book, but very powerful in starting on the journey of faith. And the unlimited power of faith. This one will fire your faith up. As you are reading them, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. And as He opens your eyes, your faith will come alive in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to your realm of being unstoppable in the name of
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.